Our Service Voices colleague, Nikki Page, asked Mary what got her into this life path.
Oh, well, it happened almost by accident. I was working in Canberra, which is a great place to work, not really such a great place to live, and I was looking for a change. I sent my CV around to anyone I could think of. One day I opened my emails and there was an email from a guy called Mike in Washington saying, would I like to go to Kosovo and work with the UN? And I had absolutely, I knew almost nothing about Kosovo. I had no idea who Mike was, but I said yes. It turned out that people I knew were already working there, and that's how the connection had been made. But it was the most exciting and adventurous thing I'd ever done.
You discovered where Kosovo was and what
I did
the hell
discover
had been
where
going
Kosovo
on there.
Was, and it had just was just recovering from a fairly violent conflict back in the late 1999, early 2000s. And when I arrived, it was pretty chaotic, muddy streets, damaged buildings, rubbish everywhere, leaking sewer pipes, things like that. At first I assumed that it was because of the war, because the Americans, NATO, had bombed quite a few buildings. But most of the damage was actually because for the last 10 years they hadn't had a proper government. And it makes you realise the things that governments do that we take for granted, fixing the roads, running the schools, collecting the garbage, and things start to fall to pieces pretty quickly when that's not done.
And collecting taxes too, obviously.
And collecting taxes and paying salaries of teachers and nurses and people like that. So the work I was doing was aid, but it wasn't aid the way a lot of people think of it. It wasn't feeding hungry children or nursing the sick or looking after refugees. It was actually trying to make a long-term difference by improving the way the place is governed, the way it's managed, by training people, by building things that'll be around for a long time.
The administration, basically.
Yes, the administration.
Yes. And the financial administration.
The financial administration, which sounds incredibly boring, but it's pretty essential because you cannot have a government unless they have money. Where do they get money from? Taxes. They need to be able to manage the money without it being stolen, which is a major problem in situations like that.
I found your book a fascinating read. You went to many places and you had to learn the ways of new cultures, and more importantly, you had to learn how to work with the people there rather than just add to what one of the civil servants referred to as reform overload. I did enjoy, though, that you kept your sense of humour, and I think that's probably essential when some of the places were just plain scary. Can you share some of your more ridiculous experiences?
Yeah, well, you have to have a sense of humour because, there are some rather bizarre things that happened.
Otherwise you'd hit the bottle, wouldn't you, really?
Yes.
Seriously. It's probably the other option. Hitting the bottle, seriously.
Well, there's a lot of that goes on as well. Yes, it's an interesting lifestyle. The work is basically what I was doing at home but in very unusual circumstances. And I learnt a lot about the positive aspects of development aid, of projects like the ones I was involved in, but also the way they can go wrong. One of my early experiences in Kosovo was the project I was working on had donated computers to local governments. They'd never had computers before, so we bought a bulk supply of computers. Only after they were delivered, we realised that whoever wrote the specifications for this contract forgot to mention software. So we had the computers, but there was no operating system, there was no software.
And no money for it.
And no money now in the project to pay what Microsoft or whoever would want. As it happened, it's quite easy to get pirate software in that part of the world. And without saying, you know, without making it official, I think that's what happened to the computers. You could get a software CD pretty cheaply on the black market.
Thank goodness for that, yes.
That's a very minor example of the things
that... The sorts of daily
things that can go wrong. But on the other hand, we had people who were trained in using computers to manage their accounts and to manage their work that had never had it before. So efficiency improved, and also the chances of corruption are reduced if you have a good computer system.
If you're keeping track of stuff.
If you can keep track of it,
I did wonder whether you considered defamation when you were writing. I'm just going to read a little bit from page 90 and...
I did take a few things out, and I'm wondering what you found.
The Kosovo Civil Service was managed by another trio of German, French and subcontinental UN officials. Alain, an elderly Frenchman who chain-smoked Gauloise in his office, was charming but ultimately ineffective. A shock, an Indian civil servant on long-term secondment, was also charming and friendly and slightly less ineffective. Most of my day-to-day contact, however, was with Peter, the German director responsible for civil service policy. After several months working with these men, I came to the conclusion that their governments had loaned them to Kosovo to prevent them from causing more havoc in their own countries.
That was a common opinion among the people I worked with. The UN doesn't come out of this story very well, but, I mean, they do... They do fantastic things elsewhere, but I don't know if they should have taken on this job because it's such a bureaucratic organisation, and they are also a political organisation. Kosovo is a pretty controversial issue, and they were torn between the two opposing political opinions, and which really stopped them from doing much. Most of my time of the book is perhaps about Afghanistan, because I spent a lot of time there, and it was another situation, a completely different situation, which with much bigger problems and much more dangerous in a way, although I never actually felt as if I was in
danger.
No,
but you did decide you weren't going to go back, didn't
eventually,
you?
Eventually. Not so much because I felt it was dangerous, it's just because it was so difficult to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, people were confined, foreigners were locked up, basically, and not allowed to go and actually meet the Afghans that we were meant to be working with. So it was difficult to get anything done.
I wondered whether you should have called your book One More Report. You obviously have written many and wondered if they'd ever be read. Is this why you wrote the book?
I think, yes, in a way, that's probably right, to get a more realistic picture of what actually goes on, because the reports are always rather sanitised. And, yes, they may not lead to anything. A lot of them do just go on the bookshelf.
You have, however, decided that the proceeds from this book will go to charities that are working to improve life for people affected by conflict and poverty. Mm-hmm. So just finally, after all that you've learned, and I could tell in reading your book that you were on a steep learning curve all the way through, what would you say to us Westerners who ponder the value of foreign aid or donations to overseas charities?
Yes, aid is definitely worth doing. I have thought about it. Sometimes I've thought, is this really working?
I bet you have.
But there are some very positive things that have been achieved through aid projects, and I would continue giving to humanitarian aid charities, and helping individuals is one thing you can do. The sort of work I do is more long-term, but, yeah, people should definitely give to countries that cannot help their own people, whereas in Australia our government should be able to look after us. We have the resources.
Yes, and I suppose it's the same here and overseas, really, isn't it? You just have to hope that as much money as possible ends up in the right place rather than getting siphoned off into the wrong places.
Yes, well, the siphoning off would happen through corruption. One way to avoid corruption is to have good administrative processes. Unfortunately, that often shows up as administrative overheads, and people think, well, we don't want to fund overheads, but that is, in fact, the way you ensure the money gets to where it should be going.
Go the public service.
Yes, the public service.
Dr. Mary Venner, public finance consultant and author of Where Are You This Time? Making a difference in places from Kabul to Kiev, Kosovo to Kazakhstan and Gizmo to Qatar. Order it from online booksellers as an e-book or as a hard copy. Mary was speaking there with our Service Voices colleague, Nikki Page.